the night before he is crucified. How is he feeling? Sweat drops of blood begin to come down his face. I mean, he has a turmoil in his mind, in his heart. He does not want to go to the cross because he knows what's going to happen. It's not just the beating, but also the sin of the world is about to be poured on him. But then he says, Father, if I could, I would like for this cup to pass. But nonetheless, not my will, but your be done.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Bondservant by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, we do community well, focusing on loving God, loving each other, and making Christ visible in everything that we do. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Today's message is called Bondservant, where Christ was not forced into servitude. He was not forced to become a slave. He chose, being fully God, he chose to become a slave and come in the likeness of men. And what's the result? Why did he choose, and what happened? That's what we're going to see this morning, that his choice to become a slave gave us, listen carefully, gave us the right to become sons and daughters of the King. He took our slavery upon himself so that we could sit at the great banquet table as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the God of the universe. And that's the message today from Philippians chapter 2 in our series called Mind Reset. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, and let's all stand as we read God's Word. Now, you should have this passage memorized by now. That's the reason we read it again and again. And in 2 months, you should be able to just say it out, spit it out, right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The goal of the series is for our mind to be like the mind of our Savior, of our God, Jesus. And what was his mind like? We looked at this for the past month and a half. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. A better translation, who, being in the form, every bit as his Father, every bit as the Holy Spirit. And yet he did not consider equality with God something to grasp. He knew and he maintained that distinction that the Father is in authority and he is the Son who is to obey the Father. But what did he do instead? But made himself of no reputation. Another way to say that is he emptied himself. He didn't stop being God. He didn't leave his power behind, but he temporarily emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I usually don't focus on bits and pieces, but I believe there is so much packed into these verses we don't understand. And that's why we never can get to the mind of Christ. But he taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What's the result? Therefore, God, his Father, also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Question before we pray. Do you truly understand what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand what it means that he became a slave for us so that you and I could become sons and daughters of the King? How do you see Jesus? How do you see him? And this morning, do you know him? Have you come to him? If you've never done that, listen, you have nothing to fear. He's a slave, and he's inviting you to come and receive the salvation that he has purchased with his own life. You said, I'm saved. But are you carrying a burden today? Are you carrying a load? What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take that burden to him. Whatever it is, I don't know and I don't need to know. Take it to God in prayer. Sickness, finances, conflicts, whatever it is, take it to God in prayer. Now I'm going to go back to the verse that I just read in verse 7. It says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That word, if you notice, we put this over here, is actually doulos in Greek, and doulos actually means slave. Now, we call it bondservant, but there's a difference between a servant and a bondservant. What Paul is saying here is that Jesus came in the form of a slave. Let that sink in, because we're going to talk about that throughout this message. What does that mean? Why did Paul say that Jesus came as a slave? To answer that question, we need to answer two other questions first. The first question we need to answer is, did people understand slavery back then? How was slavery back in those days? Well, unfortunately, slavery was a normal part of every culture and society back in those days. Unfortunately, it was even found among the main characters of the Bible. In the Old Testament, you hear about Abraham and Sarah. They had slaves. Okay? Sarah had a slave, an Egyptian slave woman by the name of Hagar. And what did she do? When Abraham could not have a child through Sarah, she gave her slave woman over to Abraham so that he could have a child. But that was never God's plan. That was never what God wanted to happen. And so what happened? He rejects that child and he says, that child is going to be blessed and that child is going to multiply, but it's through you, Sarah, that this child is going to come, through Abraham and Sarah. But did slavery stop there? Of course not. Then you have Rachel and Leah do the same thing. They gave their slave women to Jacob, and now you have the 12 tribes of Israel. Not God's plan. This is what man is doing. Do we hear about slavery again in the Old Testament? All the time. You hear about Joseph. What happened to Joseph? His own brothers did what? Sold him into slavery. And again, this was not what God had intended. You see, slavery was a part of the culture in Old Testament times and even into the New Testament. Let's focus on the Old Testament for a few minutes. Ancient Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq, from where Abraham came, had slavery. Ancient Egypt had slavery. Now, we have a good example of that, or a bad example of it, where people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, and that's why God sent Moses to do what? To set them free. I mean, that's why he came. He did all those miracles. Ancient Egypt. Who else had slavery? Even ancient Greece. Now, Greece is known for democracy, right? It's known for freedom. Their philosophers like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, they talked about the ideals of freedom and democracy, but not for the slaves, because all of them had slaves. And it was never for everybody. So it was ideal for those who were already free, but for the slave, oh, that doesn't apply to you. You see, slavery existed in the Old Testament time. How about when we get into the New Testament? Ancient Rome was even worse. I mean, Rome, as beautiful as Rome was and how powerful they were, according to certain estimates, now listen to this, according to certain estimates, in Rome, there were 80 to 90% of the inhabitants were slaves or of slave origin. How many of y'all seen that old movie, Spartacus? Who was Spartacus? He was a slave, right? He was a slave, but he was a slave from Thrace, which is Germania, and started the third rebellion, the slave rebellion. What did Rome do? They crushed that rebellion, but something else they did. When the rebellion was over, Rome, listen to this, crucified 6,000 slaves. Can you picture that? 6,000 of them lying all over hills and valleys, killed because they dared to rebel against Rome. I mean, this is how slavery was back in those days. Now, I want you to really get this picture in. Whatever your opinion might be about slavery and what happened, I want you to focus on what I'm trying to communicate to you. How were the conditions of the slaves back then? It depended on what they did. If they worked in the mines, well, you may not come home. If they worked in the homes, well, things were better for you. You were almost like part of the family. I mean, if you go back before Civil War, sort of like the same thing. But either way, at the end of the day, a slave was just a human property, a human tool. That's what a slave was. Many of them endured beatings. Many could not participate in education. Even marriage was regulated by the owner. So yeah, you can marry, but we're not going to call that marriage. Can you imagine that? You marry your wife, but that's not really marriage, because at any moment I can say, that's over, I got to sell you. Well, you better be ready to go. And so slavery was not something that we can praise in any sort of way. By the way, in the Western culture, we don't like to talk about it. The slave trade of the 17th and the 18th century is a very sad and shameful experience and reality. The purchasing of West Africans and bringing them over to the Western world and using them is never right. And I know maybe you grew up hearing that, well, things were better here for them than it would have been over there. My suggestion to you is don't use those arguments. They may have sounded good at one time, they don't sound good today. And don't use that argument, because it's not right. It's never right for one man to own another person. That's not right. You can't justify it. You can't rationalize slavery. What happened? Well, when Christians had conscience and courage, they spoke out. Christians like William Wilberforce, William Pitt, John Newton, you know, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, was a slave owner at one time. He worked on a slave ship. And then he gets saved and he realizes, what in the world was he doing? He was beating and killing slaves, and his life gets changed, and he writes Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. On his tombstone, I don't have the exact words, but he says something about a slave of Jesus is who I am. So I want us to understand that for a moment, that this is how slavery is. It's not good. It's not something you can ever say. There are some good sides to it. And by the way, slavery still goes on to this day. Did you know that about 28 to 30 million people right now in 2019 are trapped in slavery? In fact, we're doing a radio show that will be devoted towards this, because some of y'all have written to us. I mean, that's kind of amazing when people in the church who may not have any slave lineage or background, they're writing to us and saying, can you talk about this? I'm like, yeah, sure, we can. And so we're planning on doing that. The whole point I'm trying to make to you is this. To be called a slave was never good. And how did God see slavery? Well, he never endorsed it. In fact, in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God talks about how slaves were to be treated. Don't mistreat them. And if you enslave your own people, seventh year, what happens in the seventh year? You got to let them go. What happens in the year of Jubilee? Let all of them go. And there were strict laws about bringing slaves from outside. Many of them were debt slaves. But even then, God said, no, it's not right. This is not what I want. What did God want? Listen to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Listen to this. I want you to hear this carefully, because this is where you hear God's heart on slavery. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh as in just the people of Israel? No, all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my male servants, which is really male slaves, and on my female slaves, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Wow. That's in the Bible. What God is saying is there is a day coming that there will not be any distinction between free and slave. All will be free. This is God's heart. And if this is God's heart, that's what should be our heart. By the way, In the time of Jesus, slavery was still practiced. It was there. I mean, I talked to you about Romans, 80 to 90% were slaves, and slaves were still just the bottom rung of society in the time of Jesus. So here's the big question. Why didn't Jesus speak out against slavery? Why didn't he do that? Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus had said, "Masters, set your slaves free"? You think they would have done it? No. Guess what they would have done? Two things. One of two things. Either they would have told the slaves, "You can no longer go and listen to Jesus," or they would have crucified them. They would have killed them. They would have found ways to end their lives. So Jesus doesn't say anything against slavery, but guess what he does? If you read his parables carefully, they're full of slave examples. A man had a vineyard, and he told his slaves. We read servants, but it's really slaves. A man goes away, and he gives talents to three of his slaves. One to him, he gives 10, and then 5, and then 1, or something like that. They're all slaves. And what did Jesus constantly do? He constantly talked about coming to serve. I want us to go back again to what Paul says. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave. So here's a question. Who was Jesus a slave to? He came as a slave. Who was he a slave to? Number one, he was a slave to his own father. To God the Father, he was his slave. By the way, what do we know about slaves? You don't have rights. You do what your master tells you to do. Can you argue with your master? No. If you see a need, what do? You just do it. There's no but. Let me think about it. Nothing. So when Paul says he took the form of a slave, he was a slave to his own father. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 38. He says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." You see, when Jesus came, there was no time for him to negotiate with the Father. Dad, I know what you said, but coming down here, I'm thinking kind of different. No, you do what the Father has told you to do. What else? Then he says in verse 39, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing." I mean, a slave that goes out there and works and loses stuff and doesn't do his job and jeopardizes the business is not a good slave. What Jesus says here is, listen, I am here to do the will of my Father, and my Father's will is that I should not lose anything, no one that he has given to me, but should raise it up on the last day. And listen to verse 40, John chapter 6. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So what was Jesus's mindset? He was a slave to his Father. He did whatever he said without questioning. And we see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he is crucified. How is he feeling? Sweat drops of blood begin to come down his face. I mean, he has a turmoil in his mind, in his heart. He does not want to go to the cross because he knows what's going to happen. It's not just the beating, but also the sin of the world is about to be poured on him. But then he says, "Father, if I could, I would like for this cup to pass. But nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because you are the master, and I am your slave." But something else. This is important. He also came as a slave. You ready for this? To us. He also came as a slave to us. You say, how do we know that? Remember in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, what did Jesus say? "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. What he said is, I haven't come to be a master. I've come to be your slave. I've come to serve you and give my life for you. Now, do we see that in Jesus' life, those 3 years of ministry? Of course we do. Well, what was a slave supposed to do in the house of his master? Supposed to cook, right? Slaves cooked. Even in our own history, you see slaves cooking in the kitchen and bringing the food in. What did Jesus do most of the time when he was ministering to people? He fed them. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He was always seeing people hungry, and he would feed them. What else did he do? Well, look back and see. A slave, when he is called, has to come. A slave, when their name is called, they have to come. What happened to Jesus? Time and again, people called him. Jairus' daughter was dying, and they said, can we get your teacher to come? Now, Jesus could have said, what do you mean, come? You think I'm your slave or something? No, what did Jesus do? All right, let's go see what's wrong. As he is walking, this woman comes and touches the hem of his garment. He doesn't get angry with her. He says, somebody touched me because power has gone out of me. You see, because people are using me. People are making use of me. And he heals her and keeps on going, comes to Jairus' home and heals her daughter. Was it the only time that Jesus went somewhere when he was called? Think about Lazarus. What happened to Lazarus? He died. And his sisters had already called him. Jesus delayed coming, and then he comes and he raises him back to life. And repeatedly, Jesus came when he was called. What else did the slaves do? The slaves were also responsible for teaching the children in the family. What did Jesus do in his 3 years of ministry? What did he do? He was constantly teaching. And who was he teaching to? The multitudes. They came, they sat. It was so hard that sometimes Jesus had to say, I got to go. I have to get away because I haven't even eaten. And he would take the disciples away because so many were coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat. You remember slaves? Many times they wouldn't even get a chance to eat. And Jesus. You see, if you read the Gospels carefully, throughout you see him working like a slave. At night, Nicodemus shows up. If I was Jesus, I'd be like, hey, look, come back in the morning. All right? I need some time to rest. He said, oh, come on in. What do you want to talk about? Well, you know, great teacher, you know, the things you do, you know. And he's like, come on, Nicodemus, get to the point. It's getting late. I got to get up early and start helping people again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then you see the rest of it. You see, he's always serving people. He's always feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty. Always going and teaching the people. As slaves did the menial labor, washing the feet. What did Jesus do on the night before he was crucified? What did he do? Knowing that he's come from God and going back to God, he picks up water in a little basin with a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. Y'all remember that? And Peter said, oh, no, that's what slaves do. He said, if I don't do this to you, Peter, you have no part with me. I was like, if that's the case, then give me a whole bath. No, you're clean, but I need to do this. And he washes the feet of all the disciples and sits down and he asks them the question, do you know what I've done to you? If I, being your master, has just been your slave, you need to do that to each other. You need to be each other's slave. And slaves, back then, or even in our Western culture, would have to go and fight in battle for their masters. Many times that happened, where the master would say, I want you to go fight for me, and they would sign them up. So either you go or someone goes in your stead, and many times the slaves would go and fight. Now think about it. What did Jesus come to do? He came to fight our battle. You were supposed to die on that cross And I was supposed to die on that cross. Being the slave that he is, he said, look, I'm going to take that cross and go fight your battle for you. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but did you know your God is a slave? That's who he is. He said, I don't know. Did he really say those things? Well, I want you to read with me Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Turn your attention towards it. We love this verse. We just don't think about it. All right, y'all ready to read with me? It's on the screen. Come to me. Wow, that was so weak. Ugh. Let's try one more time. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus had a yoke. He said, you have a burden? Learn from me. Let's exchange the burden. And listen to verse 29. He says, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, verse 30, read it with me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know if you get this, and I hope you do. The Christian life is a free life, but it's also a slave's life. It's a slave's life. You say, well, come on now. Jesus came to set me free, and I'm free indeed. Yes, you are free. You are free from the penalty of sin. You are free from the bondage and the slavery of sin. But now you are a slave to each other and to the world. We are to serve. We are to do what Jesus came to do, which is to give his life for us. Husbands, this is how you should be towards your wife. Wives, this is how you should be towards your husband. Church family, this is how you should be towards each other. And this is how we should be towards the world. Well, I don't feel like, you know, if I felt and I've been feeling this way, a slave, it doesn't matter what feelings you got. Well, I can't explain it. You know, I don't feel like I love him like I used to. And I'm kind of out of love. Slaves, it doesn't matter what your feelings are. I felt so angry. You don't have the right to be angry. I felt like they were not, they're not treating me like they should. I don't think people treat me like they should. You're a slave. Can you imagine what would happen if in the church every person has the heart of a slave, starting with me? Radically change the way we treat people, won't it? If you have a burden, I shouldn't be sitting back here and saying, did you see what happened to them? Y'all heard. I don't think they're doing well. No, my job is to go share their burden, to help carry their load. Not talk about them, not gossip. The slaves don't do that. Why? Because we're in the same predicament. But do we get it? And 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, now keep in mind, he was not a slave. He chose slavery. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And if we look at the Greek, it means that he came with the heart of a slave. This might be hard for us to understand, but when we see the example of humility that Christ set before us, it should inspire us to humble ourselves and to go out and serve others in his name. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.